Oh, good morning. Isn't that great singing? Well, isn't that just great singing? Good singing and bad singing both make me cry. And so I'm afraid that I was a little bit touched by that hymn, that very, very beautiful hymn. We're going to read this morning in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and once again reading verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. And now let's look again at 1 Corinthians, the same verses that we looked at yesterday, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And we'll read at verse 11, For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Now, for the benefit of those of you who weren't here yesterday, we have been looking at the judgment seat of Christ, and particularly we have been looking not so much at the wood, hay, and stubble, but we have been looking at the gold and the silver and the precious stones. Now, it is not my purpose to give an unbalanced presentation, but any time I've ever heard the judgment seat of Christ preached upon, the emphasis has always been on the wood, hay, and the stubble. And so in order to restore a little balance, I'd like to concentrate on the gold, silver, and precious stones. For after all, the purpose of the judgment seat of Christ is to get rid of the wood, hay, and stubble, and to reveal that which is precious. And the purpose is that God may manifest that which has been accomplished by us in our bodies and adequately reward us for that which we have done. And we'll deal a little bit tomorrow with what we will do with those rewards. But nevertheless, we want to concentrate on the fact that that which is of no value will be taken away from us. And we will be left with that which is precious. Now, I don't ordinarily like to deal with the Greek words because I'm not a Greek scholar, and I happen to know that we have a teacher of Greek here in our midst, and so I'm a little bit embarrassed because all that I know about the Greek is what I find from Dr. Strong, who is a great help to me. But I want you to notice in the verses that we have read together, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, the word that is translated appear, and I'm not even going to try to pronounce it in Greek, but the word that is translated appear has a much deeper meaning than just to show up. The idea in the Greek is that the word carries the meaning of being made visible or being made manifest, and the word is passive. It is not that we reveal ourselves, but that we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ and he will reveal us. And my feeling is that when he reveals me, I will find out things about myself that I didn't even know existed. I will find that which is good, perhaps, and that which is bad in my own nature that I didn't know existed. I am going to be revealed. And I am going to know the truth of that scripture that says, all things are naked and open to the eye of him with whom we have to do. I can't say that I'm looking forward to that aspect. I know enough about myself to recognize that when I am revealed, before the judgment seat of Christ, there is going to be embarrassment. And when I consider those things that I don't know about myself that will be revealed, I do not look forward to it. But oh, the wonder of this, that God in His grace will take that which is of myself. God in His grace will take that which I have built on that marvelous foundation of our Lord Jesus Christ, and He will take that which is of no value, and He will burn it up and take it away and leave only that which is of value to Himself. Now we're told that every man's work shall be made manifest. And that is the same word that is to appear. To be made so that all can see. And we're told then that the day shall declare it. And there the Greek is that it might be made plain. So that there can be no doubt as to the meaning, that it is to be made plain. And then the word is that it shall be revealed by fire. And there the word means it shall be uncovered. Don't we seek in our human nature to cover up our shortcomings? Isn't that part of our nature? To cover up those things which we know would embarrass us, well, they will be uncovered at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, I want to point out to you certain criteria that are necessary for us to reveal gold, silver, and precious stones. And one of the things that we have to remember as we deal with the Lord's work is that it is His work. Yesterday in our little session in the back, we went around the circle and everyone who was there spoke a little bit about what they were doing, what kind of service they were involved in. Said, well, I'm involved in camp work and I'm involved in tract work. Or I'm involved in this work, in that work. And that's fine. I have no problems with that. Those are the things that we are involved with. But what I want to point out to you, that eventually, and at the base of all of this, the work is the Lord's work. It's not ours. We are only permitted a part in the work that belongs to the Lord. And only those things which are done in His power are of any value, and we need to remember that. Without me you can do nothing, John 15:5 says. Not I, but the grace of God which was with me. And verse after verse in Scripture it is pointed out to us that the work is the Lord's, and that we simply have a part in that work, and that for us to have a part in that work is a privilege. One of the things that we need to remember is this, that God will accomplish His purposes whether we help Him or not. He will get done whatever it is that He needs to get done whether we have a part in it or not. And we need to remember that. And that that what we have from God is the privilege of being a part of the work that He is doing. And if we remember that, it will keep us humble and it will keep us from error. On the other hand, we need to remember this as well, that as children of God, we have available to us all of the power of God in that work. In Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. And so we are dependent on the Lord, and we need to remember that the work is the Lord's, and that we are privileged to have a part in it and that we can draw on the work of the Lord. Now, last night, our brother Jack spoke of the salvation of a soul as being a precious stone, and I have to agree with that. When we lead people to the Lord Jesus Christ, we certainly have put a precious stone. But I also want to point out to you this, that there is more to that than just simply leading someone to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me give you an illustration. I came to the Lord on the 8th day of September, 1937. And I was all alone. I was in my bedroom. Nobody, quote unquote, led me to the Lord. Well, now, who gets credit? I can't take any credit for it. But let me point out to you that there was a man who spoke the first time I ever heard the gospel. And when he finished, I disliked him intensely. But he was a man who faithfully stood on the platform and pointed his finger at me and said, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." And he set me off on several months of what we used to call soul trouble in the old days. When I wrestled with my conscience, and when my pride took hold, and yes, I wanted to be in heaven, but I wanted to be there on my own terms. And that verse came back to me time and time and time again, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Does he have a share in the credit for the fact that I am a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ today? Yes, he does. What about the Sunday school teacher? A young man, about 20 years of age, going to college, taking courses at MIT, leading him to a Bachelor of Science degree. Difficult. Not an easy task. But he was a young man who took time out to study a Sunday school lesson and to meet with a half a dozen 12 and 13-year-old little monsters Sunday after Sunday after Sunday and faithfully bring home to us the message of salvation in Jesus Christ. Does he have a little jewel in his crown? What about those dear sisters who recognized the function of a woman in the assembly and who week after week, day after day, brought my name before the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation? Is there a jewel when her life is revealed? I believe there is. I believe there is. And what we need to recognize is that whatever we do, whether we see success or not, whatever we do it to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the God who is righteous in everything will reward us according to that which we have done. Not necessarily that which is seen, not necessarily that which we can claim as being our own accomplishment, but rather that which we have done. Now, one of the things that we need to remember in terms of our service for the Lord Jesus Christ, one of the fundamental things is that it is necessary for us to be faithful. We live in a time when faithlessness is rampant and faithfulness is scorned. Employees are not faithful many times in giving their employer a full day's work. Men and women, in this day in which we live, are not faithful in their marriages. Prominent men and women. You look back over the last few presidents of the United States.
Did you know that Warren Harding had an illegitimate child, was unfaithful to his wife? That goes back to the 20s. Roosevelt, Franklin Roosevelt, also was unfaithful to Eleanor with a woman named Lucy Rutherford. Do I have to talk about the Kennedys? Better leave that unsaid. Men in prominent positions. What about the present president? A man is innocent until he's proved guilty, I suppose. But there are certainly some questions as to his moral turpitude. And faithlessness is something that is rampant in the world today. And this is something which we cannot excuse by saying everybody's doing it. If every employee in my place of business is not giving his boss a full day's work, I still have a responsibility as a believer to be faithful to my employer. And if I don't like him, if I don't like his practices, then I have an obligation to leave and find myself a job somewhere else. Now, I know this is kind of hard. It's not easy to leave a job. It's not easy to move to something else. But if I cannot be faithful to my employer, if I have no respect for him, then I need to leave him, and I need to be faithful to him. This is a part of my testimony. Now, another thing that we need to consider is that we need to do our service for the Lord without seeking to be pleasers of men. You know, if you have training as an accountant, as I have, whatever organization you become involved in, sooner or later you become the treasurer. It just sort of happens, you know? And so I have been treasurer of a number of organizations. And there is one instance in particular that I won't mention any names, but I will give you the illustration. There was one couple, a man and his wife, and they made a checkout to this particular organization every month. Every single month we got a check for this organization for $50. It came in just as regular as could be. Every month, $50 came in. And of course, as the treasurer, we dutifully recorded it and sent a thank you letter. And that's fine. Now, at the end of the year, you see, 12 times 60 is 12 times 50. That's $600, isn't it? And so this man and his wife had given $600. Now, there was another man, and at the end of the year, when tax season rolled around, you know, he would come and he would give us a check of $500. And who gave the most? Oh, the man who gave the $50 a month, quietly, gave $50 a month. But this other man would come up every year with a check for $500, and everybody knew. Everybody knew that he had given $500. Who gets the reward? The lesson that we have in Scripture, of course, is the lesson of the Pharisee who blows the trumpet before him. And of course, whenever I think of that particular verse, and this is not meant to unduly glorify our brother Ernest Wilson, but I always think of the illustration that he gave. And of course, you know, at the temple, the box where the money was collected had a horn on the top, like the bell of a trumpet. And what the Pharisees would do is, you see, they would change their money into small denomination coins. And as they went in, they would throw those coins into that
bell. And I can always remember Ernest Wilson saying, and they went in with a rattle and a roar. But whatever reward there was for that, they have already received the praise of men. That has what has already been received. And there is nothing left for us. And so we need to be quiet in our work. We need to be faithful. And we need to recognize our limitations. If you look back in the book of Judges, you find there the story of Gideon. It's a rather remarkable story, you know. Here's a young fellow who was nothing. He admitted that. He was a nobody. And he admitted that. And God called him to a work. And as the result of that, he did a remarkably good work. And he became famous in the land, and he became so famous that the children of Israel wanted to make him a king.
And he was wise enough to say, I won't rule over you, and neither will my sons, neither will my children rule over you.
But then he said, I want an effort. Make me an effort. Now, what's an effort? An ephod is the garment of the priest. And the error that Gideon made, the mistake that he made, was that he wanted a position that was not his. He wanted a position that God hadn't given to him. And the result of that not only brought disaster into the life of Gideon, but it also brought disaster into the life of the nation of Israel. And we need to be careful that we do not covet a place that God has not given to us. Young people speak about discovering their gift. It isn't up to me to discover my gift. It's up to other brethren to discover my gift and make a place for me to use it. How many assemblies have you seen that were brought to ruin by men who claimed eldership when they lacked the qualification of an elder? How many assemblies have you seen where men who had been elders, but because of one reason or another no longer functioned as an elder, were still sitting in the oversight of an assembly? We need to be so careful that what we do for the Lord is what God has equipped us to do, and what we do for the Lord is what God has given us opportunity to do, and that we do not reach out for positions of glory. Remember this. If you desire the office of an elder, you desire a good thing. No question about that. That's scriptural teaching. But you want to remember this. That the position of an elder is not a position. It is a job. It is not a title, it is a work. To the extent that I have an influence on the life of a younger man, whether or not I'm ever recognized as an elder in the assembly, nevertheless, I am there doing the work of an elder. And if I can bring guidance to a younger person or a new believer, whether that's ever recognized or not, I am doing the work of an elder, and God will recognize it. And that's the purpose of the judgment seat of Christ, that God will recognize those things that men have never recognized, and that God will reward us for those things that we have done. Woodrow Kroll, in his excellent little book, It Will Be Worth It All, tells the story of George Washington Carver. Now, George Washington Carver, I'm sure you all know, was a black man. And he evidently, whether or not he was a Christian, I don't know. But the story goes that George Washington Carver said to the Lord one day, "Lord, I want you to tell me everything there is to know about the universe." Now, that's a big order. And according to the story, the Lord said to George Washington Carver, "George Washington, you're not smart enough to know everything there is to know about the universe. You need to pick something a little humbler." And so George Washington Carver chose to specialize in the peanut. And there are literally hundreds of patents in the name of George Washington Carver involving the peanut. Everything from the extraction of peanut oil, the making of lubricants, the making of abrasives, the making of all kinds of things coming out of a peanut. And what we need to recognize is that we need to bow to the place that God has put us, whether it is exalted or humble. We are to bow to the will of God in His service, and that we are to do that service the best way that we know how. And we are to be led of the Lord. Am I to leave secular employment and go full-time into the work of the Lord? That's an individual decision. I don't know. There are men here who have chosen to do that. Thank God for them. I chose not to, for whatever reason. But we need to recognize where it is that God wants us, what it is that God wants us to do, and remember that it is His work. Now then, do we serve out of proper motives? And I want to finish with this. And what I want to point out is that not only will our service be judged, but the motive behind our service will also be judged. And I think is even more important than what we do. You see, if I stand on a platform and give a very eloquent message with a view to self-aggrandizement, that in God's sight, it may be an excellent message. It may even result in the salvation of a soul or two. It may even reach the heart of some young men. But if I do it with the motive of self-aggrandizement, then that is all the reward I'm going to get. But if I do it with a view to the glory of the Lord, and Brother Jack brought this out so nicely last night in terms of opening new assemblies, that we always do all of this with a view to the glory of the Lord, that is what will bring forth the gold and the silver and the precious stones at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, one other thing that I want to mention to you, and we'll close just a little early today. I've always been of the opinion, you know, that the brain cannot absorb more than the seat can endure, and I've always felt that I would much rather have people say, "Oh, you could have talked on longer," than have people think to themselves, "I wish he had shut up 20 minutes ago." At any rate, one other thing that I want to point out to you is this, and that is that the one who is successful in doing the Lord's work according in the Lord's way and for the Lord's glory, that person is one who becomes a special target for Satan. If, as a believer, I go along willy-nilly, swinging back and forth like a door in a hinge, come to the meeting, go home, make no effort to do anything for the Lord, Satan's not going to bother me. I'm not hindering his work in any way at all. But you find the man who is on fire for the Lord, and you find the man who is seeking to do something for the Lord, and that man becomes a special target for Satan. And we need to be aware of that. We need to recognize that. I'm sure you all know about Gordon MacDonald. Do you know who he is? Anybody know who he is? He was the minister of Grace Chapel in Lexington, Mass. Huge church. Fine man. Great preacher. Built up a church from nothing into a really fine, fine church. And the next thing you know, he's involved in an affair with a woman that he was counseling. And what it did to the reputation of the Lord's word was sad. Now, he has confessed, and if you ever get an opportunity to read to hear the tape where he confessed his sin, do it. It'll break your heart. But he was a man, a godly man, a good man, a useful man. And he became the very special target for Satan. And he fell. He fell. And oh, brethren, and sisters as well, if we are useful to the Lord, remember that Satan will attack. And we need to be aware that he will attack. And we need to be on our guard every minute of the day. And he will attack from the outside, and he will attack through our very flesh and our very human nature. And we need to be on guard lest we bring disgrace to the cause of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if we are faithful, if we are on our guard, if we remember that the work is the Lord's work and we are privileged to have a part in it, and if we remember that he is willing for us to share in his work and to give him the glory, if we remember those things, then at that judgment seat of Christ, when all is burned away, there will be the silver ingots and the gold bars and the precious stones for all to see. Now, tomorrow we want to look at the type of rewards that we will have from the Lord Jesus Christ and what we will do with them. Let's close in prayer. And now, once again, our Father, we pause and again thank thee for all of thy care, thy love, thy goodness to us in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. And how privileged we are, our God, how privileged we are to have a part in the work which thou hast given thy church to do. And, O our Father, we do ask thee that in all we may be proved faithful, and in all things, our Father, we may use wisdom and judgment, and that we may be aware of thy leading and thy guidance. And we just pray, our Father, that whatever we do, whether it be in spiritual or secular things, that it might bring glory to the name and the person of our beloved Lord Jesus Christ. We ask all of this in his worthy, precious name. Amen.